Warning, the following program is a collection of idiots talking about the happenings in the sports entertainment world. It is meant to be comedically informative. The opinions expressed on this show does not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their bosses, or the Infinite Plus Network. There may be some out-of-pocket things said on this show, because this is how we talk to each other. If you are young, please seek permission before watching any further. Your homies, the Three Count Podcast. P.S. Please don't sue us.
Welcome to the Villains Lounge.
Ladies and gentlemen, and I would say boys and girls, but as you heard in the disclaimer, you probably should get your parents' permission to watch us. So I guess it is what it is, and I'm going to welcome you to the Villains Lounge. I am the Three Counts resident supervillain, the Dark Lord himself, the Dark Goat, Damien Fatale, and I'm going to bring on my co-host. Up here next to me to the rock, and he said to the right, I was going to say, because he said, fuck the rock, and it's kind of all.
Yes, fuck the rock. Absolutely.
There you go, Chris.
That's Idle. Where I'm at. Glad we got that disclaimer now, so I feel like I can speak freely.
Yeah, no, you can. You can. Right. And then, you know, down below, we got the man himself, Twitch Graves.
The only Graves that matters.
So we're doing like a special edition of the Villains Lounge. We're not doing the debate show. We're not doing Chaz and Friends, because... Well, Chaz is, I shouldn't say that. We're not going to say that. It's Sunday.
Just say he's at church.
Oh, I was getting ready to, let's just say there was a, it was getting ready to be like a Jesus resurrection joke. So we're just going to,
not do that.
Yeah, we're not going to go there. It's too early. But yeah, follow us, like us on our stuff. We're on X. Unfortunately, I'm on X too. I'm not gonna tell you how to find me, but if you can find me, find me.
I'm right there with you. If you can find me, feel free to follow me.
I ain't putting it out there. Yeah,
finally. Isn't it SV Goat 13 or something like that?
Yeah, I hate you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're supposed to say that out loud.
Is that what it really is? I was just taking a guess.
Yeah, it's something
I don't even
like
follow
that.
You.
Damn, at least he follows me.
Well, look, I just made it. I just made it like what? A couple of days ago? Something like I have like a personal one that y'all not getting, but like
don't nobody want that one.
For my rest, I don't want that one. So with that being said, let's get into the news. We're also going to be doing a little things a little different. We are going to debate a topic. We're gonna do a temp check. We're gonna do a little things here and there that we would normally do for Chaz and Friends. So stick with us. See, have some fun. Do some comments. We might read them. Maybe, possibly. I don't know if I like y'all that much. So let's get into the news. I'm going to jump into some word on Kenneth Omega, who's out with diverticulitis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too early for that. Intestine problems.
I was getting ready to ask what exactly that is, because I'm not a medical professional.
Well, so...
Essentially, his intestines are inflamed and infected.
Okay.
It's normally associated with deep sea diving. Like when you come up too fast.
And the bubble.
Yeah.
In here. Okay.
Yeah. So it's associated a lot with that, but it's not like the main, like, I guess, cause.
Okay.
But that's where it gets his name from.
It's caused by a type of bacteria.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going on. They're saying he might get surgery. They were hoping that he wasn't, but he might get surgery. I know he's been in some discomfort while he's been out. So even though I cannot stand you, I don't want you to die. So I guess get well, you cornball piece of shit. I said it.
Yeah, I hope you get well, man. I'm not your biggest fan, but I'm definitely not a hater like Damien, so.
I say get well. Shit.
I guess I'm. I guess I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm not gonna call him a cornball piece of shit, but I'm not a fan of his work. But I definitely want him to get better, because from what I've read, diverticulitis sucks.
I don't wish that on him. I'm just happy he's not on my screen.
Yeah,
but I digress, and let's go into some more happy news. So, according to sources, possibly, maybe, could Mike Santana might be showing up in TNA. So, good for him. I know I saw an interview with them with what was it?
Chris Van Vliet, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was talking that he was like just before he got that big injury, he was just hoping that he could like just. Dip. Like he was ready. He was like done.
I mean, I understand, because I know that's considered to be like the Impact / TNA kind of dark ages where not a lot of people were paying attention. But when they were LAX, they were doing a lot of great work over there.
They were.
And established themselves as a top tag team. So to go from there to AEW, where they have a heavy focus on the tag team division, but not be heavily focused on the entire time they were there. They were just stuck with Jericho.
That's so
in like this, in like this weird purgatory. Like, I don't even think they got a shot at the tag titles.
Not that I can think of.
Right.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It sucked.
So, like, I get it. And what he also touched on in the interview was that that's kind of what caused the rift between him and Ortiz. Like, Ortiz was more so, like, happy to be there, happy to have a spot. Whereas Santana just wanted more for himself and for them. And that kind of caused, that's what started their rift. But the good thing is, they ain't beefing no more. They're cool. They ain't best friends, but they're cool. So that's good.
And like he said, he was in a dark place at that time. Like, you know, he was going through the alcoholism and the drugs and shit. I would have been on drugs too. I would have been on drugs too.
You got to hang out with Jericho and Jake Hager every week?
I'd have had to be on drugs.
Right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I get it. I totally get it. And then on to some better news. It looks as if Justin, your boy Cody.
Yes, he has signed a new contract. He's going to be with us for at least a few more years.
Yeah. So that's pretty dope.
Happy to hear that.
Fuck yeah, congratulations to Cody.
Yeah,
congratulations to us on having Cody for longer.
Right?
Yeah.
So that makes my day. So, like I said, we're gonna hop into some chats. Not only a few. It's early in the morning. I don't expect anybody to be up this early. But Anthony's saying, what to do?
What's up, Anthony?
What's up, gents?
How you doing, Anthony? On?
And he also said that. Thank you, the swole master.
It's the swole master.
All right, let's do temp chat. This is a new little interesting part on you know, on the Villains Lounge is normally done for Chaz and Friends or Red Dog and Friends, or if I do my thing with Friends, which I don't really have any, so that's why we're doing the Villains Lounge. Tim Check, you know, we do the hottest, coldest wrestler of the week, and we also do our match of the week. So, who wants to go first?
You can.
I ain't got shit.
Of course, your idea, and you don't have anything for it. All right, Tim Check.
Not my idea.
Let's see. My coldest wrestler, I'm going to go with Chris Jericho, because what the fuck is he even doing? Like, doesn't he, like, is Fozzy not touring anymore? Like, can he just, I just want like 6 weeks, no Jericho. That's it.
I'm pretty sure they're getting ready to work on a new album. So you may get that.
No, see, because he's going to work his AEW. Watch. I'm telling you, he's going to be doing all these projects and still never go anywhere.
He's not.
He's the coldest. Cause just go away, bro. Like he just needs to go away. Okay. Hottest wrestler.
Don't go away.
I'm gonna go with. We're gonna go with. Ah, fuck it. Let's go with Rhea Ripley.
Okay. All right.
She's a star. She's amazing. She doesn't even have to do shit. They just see her face and they just go crazy.
I mean, that is true. And she's supposed to be a heel. She's supposed to be a heel.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
hottest wrestler. That was hard. There's quite a few. And
that was.
My match of the week, I'm actually going to go with Ricochet versus JD McDonagh.
That was
my match of the week because I was not expecting them to go as hard as they did.
Right.
That or just the time that they did. So I was pleasantly surprised and I was very, very entertained.
All right. Go ahead, Twitch. What you got?
I don't really have a coldest wrestler of this week. You know, it's WrestleMania. We're literally like a week away from WrestleMania. Everybody's on top of their game right now for the most part, other than Jericho, but I won't put him as my coldest wrestler. My hottest wrestler, though, Jade Cargill. Like, how can you...
Oh, that's a good one.
Man, she came out, did her promo, made it short, sweet, straight to the point, and then coming out and just destroying Damage Control. Like, how can you not be excited for what we're about to get with this?
All right. I can feel that. I can feel that.
And then my match of the week, man, I'm gonna go with New Catch Republic and Angel and Umberto. That was just a fire match.
That was good. That was a very good match. That definitely was a very, very, very good match, actually. So, all right. I can fuck with that. Coldest wrestler, we already know who it is. It's always Jericho. It's Jericho. Jericho for just being Jericho. Just for being Jericho. That's it. No other reason. My hottest wrestler is going to be hottest wrestlers. Punk, Drew, and Seth for one of the greatest promo segments in a very long time. So those are my hottest wrestlers, hands down. Those boys killed it. Yeah. And
I'm not mad at that.
I loved every second of it. And I'm going to go with Sammy versus Bronson Reed.
That was good.
Okay.
From Raw for my match of the week. That one was also really good for no reason with big Bronson Reed picking up that W. So, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed so much matches. So many matches this week.
This was a good week, man.
It was.
Yeah, no. Good week seems like all around, even on Aaron Hood's, thing. So, and then Anthony has a question. Yes, we are doing a WrestleMania watch-along both nights. So... there you go. We're doing both nights. I'll be traveling to Texas during these watch-alongs. So this should be very, very interesting. Eve will be driving. Eve will be driving.
Okay.
Yeah. Eve will probably be driving when I'm actually streaming live and watching. You know, I'm not being stupid.
Don't be trying to be driving and watch WrestleMania.
Oh God, no. God no, I ain't that dumb.
Oh,
but
that's
yeah,
yet to be determined.
No, I'm not that dumb. I got my wife and my kids in the car.
Okay, well that makes me respect you more.
Yeah, yeah. No, if it was me by myself, then that'd be a different story.
Oh, I wouldn't have even said it if it was you by yourself.
Exactly.
I'd probably encouraged it.
Right? Yeah. So, with that being said, I guess what we'll do is we'll do NXT. We're going to do Dumbass of the Week. We'll do SmackDown. And then I do have a topic that I'm going to throw out there that we're going to end the show with. And, you know, kind of go from there. So, we're going to do the NXT review. It's your turn, Mr. Idol.
All right. Since we got so much to get through and a little debate topic, we're gonna speed through this
as
quickly as we can. So the show opened with Dijak versus my guy, Sean Spears. They had a really good match. Joe Gacy has decided to target Sean Spears as his next, I don't know, plaything. So,
grown on me.
Same here. So he appears under the ring, steals Sean Spears' chair, you know, his signature. So at one point, Sean goes to look for the chair to use it, can't find it, and it distracts him long enough for Dijak to hit the feast your eyes and get the win.
Oh, that's good. That's gonna be fun. That's gonna be fun.
It is. It's gonna be really fun. Next up, we had Thea Hale taking on JC Jane's new best friend, Jasmine Nix. As you know, following the story, JC has alienated herself from Thea, calling her an ungrateful. I don't remember exactly what she said, but I'm going to say she called her an ungrateful hoe because I don't remember the exact verbiage, and that sounds disrespectful enough. So Thea has a match with her. JC tried to interfere in this match to help her homegirl win, and it backfired, and Thea made her tap out with the Kimura lock.
All right. That match was really good.
That was, I enjoyed it.
Yeah. This whole story is kind of growing on me.
It is. The whole Chase U thing is growing on me.
Yeah.
I remember when it first started, I was like, eh. But, like, no, it's been growing on me.
If this was just a regular TV show and not a wrestling show, I'd be like, give Chase U a spinoff series.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we had Lola Vice issue an open challenge to the women's locker room, which was accepted by none other than Natalya, which was quite the surprise.
Yeah.
That was a surprise.
I wasn't expecting it. It's always good to see Natalya. She's been MIA for a little minute. So it's nice that she was able to find a nice spot during this crazy WrestleMania season. And in the surprise turn of events, Natalya actually won the match with a roll-up. I didn't see that coming. I thought for sure Lola was going to pick up the win. But I dig it. And I hope this leads to more. Because I think anytime Natalya is down there in NXT working with the girls, it only helps them get better.
It does.
I hope we see her down there for a nice little bit.
Next up,
we had Ilya Dragunov take on Stax Lorenzo. As you all know, Ilya is going to be taking on Tony D at Stand and Deliver. So this match, that's where this comes from. Stax trying to make it a little easier for Tony D come Stand and Deliver, hoping to take out the champ. As we know, it's Ilya Dragunov. He is the living embodiment of, like, a nuclear missile. So it did not work. And he got the victory over Stax.
I bet you he did. You're right. He is like a fucking nuke.
He's, you know, the kids have this term where they say people are built different. Ilya is definitely built different.
Built different, and then I feel like there's Dragunov built different. Like,
yeah,
he's on his whole different level.
He is. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Well, now that you guys are both on X, you guys need to follow him. every week he posts like his training regimen, and he's doing like these ridiculous things.
I saw some of it.
Yeah,
I want to see him
like
train
the one doing the one arm push up with yes, the, holding
was,
the weights on the
he
back
was
of his neck.
The weight on his back doing one arm push ups, and someone was like, "Yo, can somebody please tell Dragon off that wrestling is like scripted?
Like, it ain't that serious, bro. Calm down."
I feel like he's trying to take the title of alpha male of our species away from Brock, and he's working really good at it.
Yes. Yes.
I don't even want to step in. I don't even know if I want to step in the ring with him or Gunther at all. If I had to pick two, are the two that I do not want to get in the ring with.
Insanity.
Imagine a triple poke threat.
Doom. Give me the poke of doom and take pin me, pay me.
I feel like a triple threat with him would be like punishment. Like you did something wrong.
I'm hiding under the ring.
There you go.
Sitting at the commentator's booth. I'll pull an R-Truth.
That's the best way to protect yourself. Moving along, we had our next match, which is a lot better than I expected. And I didn't expect it to be bad, but we had Josh Briggs take on Duke Hudson. And those boys threw down.
I figured they would.
They threw down. And yeah, like Josh Briggs, he's really impressing me on his singles run. Because I was sad when his team split up. I was like, oh, I don't want to see them split up, but he's doing the damn thing as a singles competitor. So he got the win over Duke Hudson, and after the match, Obafemi, North American champion, African God. You know,
I would not want
also in the running for alpha male of our species,
right?
he decides that based on the two victories tonight to give Briggs and Dijak a championship match at Stand and Deliver. So we're gonna get a triple threat hoss fight for the North American Championship at Stand and Deliver.
Okay, and you know, this is the messed up part about it. If I was Dijak and Briggs, I'd be worried. Why did the champ decide this? It wasn't decided for him. He wants both of y'all. That's not right. That's not right. Yo, that's not right at all.
I full on agree.
Yeah, I'd be nervous. I'd be like, oh, no, fam, one-on-one. I'll wait.
He's like, nah. He's like, nah, I'll fight both of you guys. That's how confident I am. I'm going to just fight both.
That
not
is
one.
An insane level of confidence because you ain't got to get pinned to lose.
Right? Right? So that's going to be a crazy match.
Yeah, it is.
And that takes us to our main event of the evening. Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin, your NXT Tag Team Champions. Took on Alpha Academy, represented by Otis and Tozawa. And this match, this was a really, really good tag team match. I think the craziest spot was Otis, I believe it was Otis, had Breakker up on his shoulders, and Tozawa was on the top rope, and they were going to do the Road Warriors Doomsday device. And Tozawa jumps. Breakker catches him and then does like a fall away slam moonsault type thing like Scott used to do back in the day off of, of Otis's shoulders. And I saw that and I was like, what the hell?
I called Damien immediately.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Like, what do you call that? I don't know.
I call that fuck you.
That's crazy. Like to hear that spot and be like, and just in your head go, yeah, I can do that. And know with absolute certainty that you can. Not, I think I can do that. You just, yeah, I can do that. I can do that.
I can just picture Tozawa's face. Like,
yeah.
Shit.
Another in the running for alpha male of our species.
Yes.
Brock Breakker.
I don't know who the next alpha male is going to be, but he's definitely coming from NXT.
Definitely.
So that was just insane. But the purpose of this match was if Alpha Academy won, they got added to the tag title match at Stand and Deliver. And as you can tell, Alpha Academy did not get that win. Because you're out here, you know, competing against one of the front runners for alpha male of our species.
He is ridiculously fast for no reason. Yes. That vertical jump is redonkulous.
Yes.
The strength is just uncanny. The fact that this man can run 25 miles an hour running the ropes is not right.
No.
This is a case where this is one of the very few times that I will say that I'm happy the Ravens got rid of him so that we get this.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Shit. God. Oh, I know they're kicking themselves in the ass right now.
No, they ain't. No, they ain't. But that's a different subject.
Yeah, they're not. But
I know they're okay.
Thank goodness they got rid of
him. I'm so happy they got rid of him.
I am too.
Same. I wouldn't have been getting this. So thank you, Baltimore. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
God, I know he's not from Baltimore, but he sure does act like it.
I officially adopt Bron Breakker.
Right. I'm with it. I'm with it.
Hands down. So that was NXT. I'd say overall that was like a 3.5-4.
Yeah, definitely. Total.
Yeah, it was a solid ass show.
Yeah, I give it a 4.
It was solid all the way through. I mean, shit. They like I said, wrestling's NXT kind of been solid all the way through.
Fires on all cylinders once again.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. So, all right. Well, that's the NXT review. So let's go into Dumbass of the Week. And no, I do not have the little thing to play, and we're not doing that this week. We're just gonna go right into it. Just is what it is. I don't feel like pressing buttons. That's the truth. I don't wanna. So my dumbasses of the week. Here we go. Chris Jericho for being Chris Jericho. Look at all of the bodies he has left in his wake of thinking he's cool. And now he's working on poor Hook.
Yeah.
Number two, the IWC for being the IWC. I don't even know. Did they do something stupid? They probably did.
They always do.
And we're going to put Jack Perry on there. I heard he was trying to get out of his contract. Tony said no.
let's pause for a second. Why is it so hard to get fired from AEW?
I don't know.
Can we talk about, like, why is it so difficult? Like, I don't understand. You have to break, like, 8,000 rules and catch Tony on a bad day for him to consider it.
And even then, it's still going to take him, like, 4 months to consider it.
Yeah. Dude, this whole thing with Jack. Like, I feel like he's holding him hostage out of spite. He is so mad that Punk is gone. Like,
But you fired him!
Yeah, because of Perry, though.
I understand this, but at the end of the day, you still fired him. You are the reason he's gone.
He had to.
He had to, bro.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
At Gorilla on the biggest show of their company's existence, and probably the biggest show they'll ever do, because the tickets ain't moving like that for this year.
I don't disagree with he had to do it. But
if he didn't fire him, that just says, yeah, you can really do whatever the fuck you want here.
That would have solidified them as WCW again.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, he had to. He had no choice. Like, on GP alone, he had to get rid of the man.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But that means you don't get to get butthurt that he's gone.
That's also true.
All right, so me being the villain that I am, that's what I'd do. I'd be mad as fuck. I'd be like, because you couldn't keep your fucking pie hole shut, and you wanted to act like you were motherfucking 12, I had to fire one of the biggest fucking stars in wrestling because of you.
I know.
Guess what? You're going to fucking Japan.
I mean, me personally, I wouldn't be mad about going to Japan.
Like, you're not, I'm not, and as a matter of fact, I'm not letting you out of your contract either. Just go away. I don't have nothing for you right now. Go. Get out my fucking face while I punch you. Go. And that's what I would, like, I get it. I understand Tony being upset. Yo, I'd be upset. I'd be heated every day.
True. Especially because, their business has been suffering ever since. You think?
I would
wake up when they stopped doing the high numbers in their ratings. Attendance has just been going down further and further.
Well, you got a comment saying that he would rather be in New Japan, but they got a partnership with AEW.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he'd just rather not be in the company anymore because of how he's being used, period. I just think he wants to go off and do his thing, which it might be good for him. But, well, as in the words of Jack Perry to Jack Perry, cry me a river, sir. And that's why you're dumbass of the fucking week.
Hope the real glass was worth it.
Same here. And then the fourth and final person, Uncle Dave. Supposedly, this dumbass reported that everybody was all pissy because, you know, double standards with The Rock and his promos and segments. And then Mr. Dwayne publicly put out that Meltzer's bullshit. And you need to check your facts. And that's his problem. He's not checking his facts. Again, as I said before we came on here, he's getting into Tony's stash. Like, I think he's like snorting the residue, like behind Tony. And so I guess that's the equivalent of drinking the Kool-Aid in AEW. Riding the white pony. So that's it. So those are our four choices. I am posting it now on Twitter and the Three Count Podcast Twitter page, because that's what it's called. It's Three Count_Pod on Twitter. So, hey, look, let us know. And we will reveal who we think is the dumbass of the week at the end of the show. So, I guess let's move on to SmackDown review. You ready, sir? It's your golden moment.
It's my golden moment.
It's your golden moment.
All right, so SmackDown, of course, we opened up with a vignette of the Bloodline and the Cody Rhodes saga. Going from there, we get our first match of the evening, which was Orton and KO versus Pretty Deadly. To be honest with you, I didn't see this ending coming. Like,
I didn't either.
I honestly thought this was going to be an easy win for Orton and KO. Of course, Logan Paul getting involved and costing Orton and KO the match. Pretty Deadly getting the win here. I like seeing it. It makes me feel good to see Pretty Deadly pick up a win here and there.
Yeah.
Of course, after the celebrations, we get Logan Paul and KO chasing, or we get Orton and KO, excuse me, chasing Logan Paul out of the arena.
That whole thing was actually pretty cool. And I say this because of the fact that, like you said, you had like Pretty Deadly win because of Paul. Paul Hyatt under the ring. All of that shit goes down. And then they show the replay, and the wrestlers are actually looking at the fucking replay.
Yeah.
I like that.
And then, like, he's like, oh, that fool was under the ring.
He's right here? Oh, he's right here.
No, it's great. I like how Triple H books. Like I was saying, like, the heels make logical sense why they'd be pissed, and the baby faces aren't stupid.
Yes.
You're right. If there's a big-ass screen where they're showing the replay, why wouldn't you look at it and be like, oh, word, that's what happened?
I like that we're starting to see the heels do actual heel shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like last week, Io Sky jumping Bayley backstage for no fucking reason right before her match. Other than because I can. Like seeing stuff like this.
Yeah, shout out to Pretty Deadly for that W. Pinning this, KO. That was good.
This is the one time that I will not give this segment involving Logan Paul a negative 1 million axe handle review.
Okay.
For one simple reason is the fact that he drove away in a beautiful cherry red Corvette Stingray.
He did. He did. He stole it.
He did. He stole it or not. That is a beautiful car. It is one of my favorite cars. Congrats, Logan. You named yourself.
Yeah, no, it was an all-around great segment, I thought.
It was a great segment. It was a great match, and like I said, it was cool seeing Pretty Deadly get a W.
Yeah.
Moving on from there, we get a beautifully done promo from Io Sky in all Japanese. I loved everything about this. I loved that we had the subtitles done in English and that she just went off in Japanese.
Yeah.
I love seeing Bayley get some redemption and jumping the shit out of her ass. All around great storytelling. I love the progression in this story. Going on from there, we get the moment that everybody has been waiting for, the debut of Jade Cargill. This was awesome to see. She is amazing looking. I can only imagine the matchups we are about to get now. She kept it short, sweet, and straight to the point. I don't think she needed to come out and say a bunch. I feel like she needed to keep it short and sweet and just let her actions speak for her. If you see her on AEW, we know what she can do.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out here real quick. Hold on before you move on. That entrance.
Oh, man. That entrance was amazing.
Dude, that's
a superstar. Yes.
I thought The Rock had a dope ass new entrance. This changed my mind. I can't wait to see what WrestleMania's entrance is going to look like.
Oh, it's going to be great. Craziness. She looked amazing. Just like you said, she didn't have to say much. She said what she needed to say.
Exactly.
And she looked great. I am happy that Triple H decided to wait.
To be honest, so am I.
The wait has been worth it.
I started to get a little impatient.
Mm-hmm.
I started wanting, you know, to see her, like, let's do this. But seeing the way that they did this, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Going on from there, we get a kind of cheesy, in my opinion, promo from Dakota Kai on Bianca Belair. I'm starting to feel like Dakota Kai is just one of those people that just shouldn't talk. This is the second week in a row that I feel like we got a very bleh promo from her. Like,
yeah.
She's usually a lot better. I can't disagree with you.
Is she usually a lot better? Or did she just not talk as much?
Well, the stuff she did with Raquel in the NXT.
But did she talk, though?
I'm not even on a lot.
See, exactly. That's the thing. Exactly.
It's like, did she talk?
Oh, yeah. She didn't talk too much.
And now,
it's
you
more
know,
of her actions more, than anything.
The more I'm starting to realize is that when we see people and like, oh, I wish they'd give them promo time. There's a goddamn good reason why they don't get a lot of promo time.
Exactly.
They are protecting us.
They are.
No, we're not trying to hold back your favorites. Your favorites just can't talk.
Okay, it could be the. You're right. She didn't talk a lot in Damage Control, and when she did, it was just enough.
Yeah.
And now she's like the full voice.
Yeah. Now we're carrying the load, and we're like, herbs. Oh. Uh-huh.
And damage control is breaking up at WrestleMania.
You think?
Well, after they get their asses kicked about, we'll talk about that when you get the main event.
We'll get there.
I'd break up after that.
So moving on from Dakota Kai's cheesy promo, we get the Street Profits and Theory and Waller to see who advances to WrestleMania 40 in the tag match. This was awesome. Everything about this tag match was just awesome. I'm not mad about this. I wish the Final Order didn't get involved, but I get it. I get it. You need to advance that storyline as well.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm not mad at
it. I saw it coming. I saw it coming, but the way that they did it this time, instead of just a run out, the distraction. Yeah.
I like the video interference that threw the Street Profits off. I'm not mad at that. Of course, Theory and Waller picking up the victory, so they're moving on to the WrestleMania 40 six-pack ladder match for the tag team titles. I had to focus to say that. Holy shit.
That's a lot. It is.
This was a good match. Moving on from there, though, we get Legado del Fantasma coming out to thank Dom for helping Santos Escobar get one over on Mysterio. I could have done without this, but I get it. It was cool to see. It was needed for what happened. Dom comes out and gets booed out of the fucking building. He starts spitting his spiel about Ray's deadbeat dad and I'm gonna do everything I can to make sure that Ray's career ends on a huge downfall. Until then, I'm just gonna make him miserable. Of course, Santos Escobar agreeing, Ray's deadbeat dad. Out comes LWO. Rey Mysterio's tired of hearing everybody's bullshit. Challenges Santos and Dom to a tag match at Mania with the newest member of the LWO. This was such a letdown. I expected somebody else, but Dragon Lee gets that surprise spot as the newest member of the LWO. And just, you could see that Carlito wanted to be picked.
Yeah, you did. That's all I was going to say. Poor Carlito.
It's like somebody spit an apple in his face.
It was.
He lost all emotional expression.
It's like somebody took his candy bar.
Exactly. Like, he did not look happy about this.
At least somebody stole his Easter basket.
But of course. Of course, as always, when you get massive teams facing off against massive teams, a big-ass brawl ensues. LWO finally standing tall and running off Legado del Fantasma. This was okay. I wasn't mad after Ray came out and made the challenge, but if you notice, they didn't accept it. But they also didn't, like, deny it, so...
Right.
That'll definitely be a match for sure. I think they'll accept it next week on SmackDown. Moving on from there, we get Bianca Belair and Naomi backstage. Bianca coming to the realization that she understands that she's been fighting damage control for, 2-3 years now. Maybe it's not such a bad idea to have a little bit of help. Her and Naomi in the trenches together. After that, we go on to New Catch Republic versus Angel and Umberto.
You did forget one thing.
What?
That segment with Judgment Day. Of them, them questioning about Dom going off and doing his own thing.
Right, Judgment Day all keeping some sort of secret from each other. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
I had that wrote down after this match.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead. My bad.
So Judgment Day backstage, wondering where the fuck Dom went, and then wondering why he went out there by himself. This is literally looking like the beginning of the end for Judgment Day. They are all backstage questioning each other. Like, we all know for a fact bad things happen when you start questioning other members of your little community. Who gets kicked first? Dom or JD?
I don't think it's either one of them, to be honest with you.
I think it's Priest.
You think?
Yeah, I have a feeling it could be Priest.
I think it might be Finn.
Or Finn, yeah. Finn or
I can agree with Finn. I don't see Priest being the first one, though.
The only reason why I say that is Money in the Bank. He's been getting some props here and there.
All right, so, okay. So, if Judgment Day loses everything in WrestleMania,
right?
If Finn and Priest lose the tag titles, which they probably will, if Priest tries to cash in but fails, that's a possibility.
Mommy loses
the title possibility, and Dom loses the tag match at Santos, which is a possibility. I think the breakup of Judgment Day could be really fun if they just all come out of there with like losers and they just all blame each other.
This could be.
So I think that could be really fun.
It could. Definitely.
And then JD can be the one that's trying to keep everyone together because he didn't have a match to lose.
Yep. Yeah. He could be that overzealous hype man. Like, you got this. It's okay. We can come back from this.
Everybody's like, shut up, JD.
Yeah.
Of course, this is just a backstage segment. Going back to the ring, you have Umberto and Angel, who are already beat up from the LWO versus Legado del Fantasma segment that just happened. New Catch Republic coming out. Man, even with them being beat up, Angel and Umberto just don't miss.
Yeah, they're good. They are really good together.
This was just... I want more of this. Like, I legitimately want more of these two teams going at it. I know I've been getting it for a while now, but I want more. Just give me more. New Catch Republic getting the win after a banger of a match. And then we get the lovely recap from Monday Night Raw when the Rock beat the dog shit. Absolute dog shit out of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Man, what can you say about that that hasn't already been said?
He beat him like he stole his cookie.
Yeah, he did.
He beat him like his mom owes him money.
Right?
Yeah.
Of course, moving on from there, we get a backstage segment with Paul Heyman, with Jimmy Uso, with Solo Sikoa, saying that, you know, the Rock's beat down on Cody was by order of the Tribal Chief. What happens to Jay at WrestleMania is by order of the Tribal Chief. Jay ain't even making it to WrestleMania because next week he's got to face baby brother Solo. So
he said he's going to miss him.
Saying, I'm sorry, but this is by order of the Tribal Chief.
My favorite part of that is him saying, I'm going to miss you. I'm like, oh, shit. Right. I was like, yo, that's your blood.
They're already preparing his memorial. They got a nice plot picked out that looks over the ocean.
I like this promo because it reestablishes Roman's the one in charge.
Yeah.
It's not The Rock.
And they needed that.
Because The Rock is The Rock. And he's not doing it on purpose, but he was kind of overshadowing Roman.
He was.
So it was important to add this element that The Rock didn't do it because The Rock wanted to do it. The Rock did it because Roman put the order in. Yeah. You know, go to Raw and handle that.
I don't disagree with that. I feel like The Rock could have showed up and just, you know, acknowledged Roman and joined the Bloodline, not said anything, and it would still feel like he's overshadowing Roman. It's just The Rock. Like, that's what you get. So I like this promo as well, with everybody kind of, you know, we are badasses, but at the end of the day, it was the tribal chief who put this order out, and we do what our tribal chief needs.
Yeah.
Moving on from this, we get AJ Styles, who has been paranoid all night that LA
for no reason.
We've seen him backstage arguing with Nick Aldis about, you should have told him not to come instead of asking him not to come. AJ explains that he's going to expose LA Knight at WrestleMania, and then just starts getting absolutely paranoid, flips out on a cameraman, starts throwing all his shit around, goes out the ringside. Like, he is a paranoid soccer mom that left the juice at home.
Yeah.
I like this. I like this Lone Wolf AJ more than anything. Of course, LA Knight was there. He was dressed up as a guy after AJ went through a temper tantrum and trying to play Where's Waldo.
That was a good disguise.
Like, it was. Master of disguise right there.
Yeah.
It's because he's from Maryland.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Of course, LA Knight finding his chair again and just proceeding to whip the dog shit out of AJ. He went to hit him with the chair. The chair slipped out of his hand. AJ dips off into the crowd. And we get what we always get. LA Knight saying, we're going to find out who's the fucking hottest in the game, with everybody saying. The crowd just eating it up. After that, we move into our main event of the evening, which was Bianca Belair and Dakota Kai. Belair got in that ass the moment the bell rung.
Yes, she did.
That's all I can say about this, is Belair got in that ass the whole fucking match.
She did.
Of course, Dakota. Belair getting the fucking W via DQ, because, of course, out comes Damage Control to jump the shit out of her.
Yeah.
I don't even think this was DQ. I think she actually got the W.
No, she got the W. She actually got the W, but it could have ended in a DQ.
Yeah. Of course, Damage Control coming out to jump fucking Bianca Belair. We see Naomi come out to save Belair, ends up getting her ass jumped as well. And then the moment that fucking broke the internet, in my opinion, Jade Cargill comes out and saves both Naomi and Bianca Belair. And just, when I say she destroys Damage Control, that is putting it so nicely.
Everybody got it worse but Asuka.
Yeah.
Like, Asuka didn't get it that bad. She rolled the fuck out. She was like, I'm good.
What was going to happen, and got the fuck out of Dodge.
Asuka got a boot, and that was it.
Yeah.
Kairi Sane got that fucking pop-up powerbomb from her.
Yeah.
Everything about this just made me so excited. I am so happy to see all three of them in the ring together. I am so excited for what this leads to at WrestleMania, which of course is a 6-woman tag match with Damage Control versus Naomi Belair and Jade Cargill. This was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Hands down. If you say anything negative about this, fuck you, you're wrong.
Look, I'm getting what I want. I put this out in the ether like weeks ago.
Yeah.
You and me both, and I'm sure Chaz did as well.
Yeah.
Justin probably did it as well.
Yeah, yeah. What was it that the episode of SmackDown when Jade was there for her meeting with Nick and Damage Control passed her in the hallway? That's when I knew. Yeah. I was like, okay, we're getting a 6-woman tag.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, give me more. Give me more, please. Yeah.
I didn't think they would announce Jade Cargill as like the third member for Naomi and Belair until like at Mania. Like, keep it a surprise, but that would have been the worst kept surprise.
Yeah. And I'm happy that they get an extra show to build upon that now.
Yes. Yeah.
So we get some interactions with the three of them. A lot of people online saying this is like unfair. Like, it's like Undertaker, Andre the Giant, and the Ultimate Warrior versus, who did I say? Zach Gowen, Drew Carey, and who was the other one? Jimmy Yang Wang.
Yeah, Jimmy Wang Yang.
Wow.
If you look at this with the pictures of all six competitors, this looks totally fucking one-sided.
It does, but we know that it's not because of the skill set of the opposite team. Like, those
women... We know Asuka can go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We know Kairi Sane can go.
Yeah.
Dakota Kai is the only one who I feel like is out of place in this match. Like, she's just going to be the one that gets the dog shit beat out of her.
But she can go, though.
She, and I'm not taking that away from her. But look at the other side. When you
respectfully, Dakota is the weak link.
She is, technically.
And that's not saying anything bad against her.
Yeah.
No, you're right. They had, like, Bailey. And she was still heel. To be a little bit more fair.
All in all, that was SmackDown. Very solid show, very promo-heavy show, but of course that's what you get before WrestleMania. You want to keep everybody as healthy as possible. All in all, I give this 3.5-4.
Definitely 4 for me. It was a really, really solid show before we head into WrestleMania. We got two more shows from Raw and SmackDown, and then one more show from Raw, SmackDown, and the NXT. So they're all their go-homes for their respective shows, and I'm looking forward to this week. WrestleMania week starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be an interesting fucking week. It's gonna be amazing. So I guess let's go into our first time kind of debate topic on the Villains Lounge, and I'm gonna toss this out there. And this is my question to both of y'all. Who should win Night 2's main event between Cody and Roman? Like, who's legit should win the main event?
I'm gonna let Justin go first.
I'll put it like, I can't imagine Cody not winning, because it's like, it just makes sense. Like, you could argue last year it didn't make sense. Like, last year I was shocked, but I wasn't mad that he didn't win. And it was like, okay, I get it. This year, if it happened, it's like, nah, I don't think I get that. But it also tells me that if Cody doesn't win, Cody's not the guy. He's not the guy. Because if he doesn't win it here, I feel like the WWE fans are just going to lose. They're going to lose confidence in him. And it's not going to mean as much if it were to happen somewhere else. Because what are they going to do? They're going to do it again next year? That's not going to happen. Which means it would have to take place at like some lesser pay-per-view. And that's... Nah. Like, yeah, I lost 2 WrestleManias in a row trying to get this title, and I finally won it at Survivor Series. No, that doesn't work.
That would be the biggest slap in the face.
Yeah, that it doesn't work. But like, that just tells me that, like, you know, if Cody doesn't win, Cody's not who Triple H or Nick Khan sees as being the guy.
I feel like this is something that, and to pretty much agree with you, man, this is something that Cody needs to win, or it's like, what was the point of having you win the Rumble 2 years in a row? Like, at this point, if you don't win, it just kind of feels like we gave you these Rumble victories for nothing. Like here's your compilation prize.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be mad if Damian Priest decides to cash in. I wouldn't be mad with that. I'd be a little let down, but it is what it is. It's money in the bank. It happens to anybody. But I don't see Damian cashing in on that, so that theory is kind of very, very far in the back of my head. But if you have Cody lose at WrestleMania, do you wait a full year until somebody else beats Roman and then have Cody beat them at next year's WrestleMania, and then we have to wait 3 years in a fucking row for a Cody main event?
Yeah, and then it's not as big a deal if he wins it. I mean, it's still going to be a big deal, but
the crowd will still go apeshit.
Yeah.
The crowd is going to love every moment of it.
Yeah.
But my question would be, do you have him beat him clean if the plan is for Cody to beat him, or do you have it be some sort of fuckery?
So, to where,
like, okay, he lost, but
that Cody versus Roman has to go down is this has to be the most spectacular display of bullshit. We're talking like overbooked, like crazy. We need everything. Pull out every fucking thing. Have these people go crazy. Have the bloodline jump in. Even if they lose night one and they can't, have them do it anyway. Have The Rock go, fuck it, I'm on the board. Which, for the record, I think the bloodline is going to win night one.
I think so too.
Oh, totally.
So we get bloodline rules. But in the off chance that they don't do that, have them interfere any fucking way. And then I'm telling, like, have every baby face that Roman ever wronged, have them show the fuck up and help.
That is exactly what I was about to say.
Have this Randy come out. Have Jay, Sammy.
If you got wronged by Roman or the bloodline, this treat is like your opportunity to come get a piece of that ass.
Yeah. If you've ever been wronged by the bloodline, you are entitled to financial compensation. Join our class action lawsuit. I'm talking everybody. Like John Cena, have him show up since Solo took him out. Have him fight him. Like then let it come down to like it's Roman, Rock, Cody.
I want that shot.
Have the glass break. Have Stone Cold show up. Have him be the one to take out The Rock. Hit The Rock with one last stunner.
I want to see that moment where if I don't get a Cody victory, which I will be okay with, the only way I will accept that is if I get that moment where the ring is just surrounded by people that Roman did wrong. The bloodline is already out of the picture. They done got the shit beat out of them. And you just see this ring with Roman just standing there like, oh shit, I fucked up. Like, I feel like Cody needs to win this.
Y'all gonna hate me.
If Cody doesn't win this, then I am fully convinced that Triple H is still mad about him smashing that replica chair.
All right.
Yeah, like Cody can't be the guy if he doesn't win this. That's
exactly
that's the way I look at it.
And I disagree.
If he's not the guy, then so be it. But he can't be the guy if he doesn't win this
match. I'm cool with him not being the guy, but if he's not the guy, I don't want him in. I don't want a WrestleMania next year where it's Cody versus for the universal title. Like, no, obviously you're not the guy. We got this 2 years in a row. We don't need a third year.
Right.
Okay. So for me, I think it's just Cody doesn't have to finish the story at WrestleMania kind of thing. for me, personally. He just needs to finish the story. I think it'd be big regardless, even if it's on SummerSlam or Survivor Series. And it's like I said, it's me being selfish. I want to see a riot happen in Philly.
I
need some news for that Monday.
See, I don't agree because I feel like
I want to see the internet break. I just want to see everybody mad. I think
if
that's
Cody
what it is.
Finishes the story, it has to be at WrestleMania.
I don't think it has to be.
At this point, yes. Like at this juncture, yes.
If you
after last year's WrestleMania, I say you could have done it at a SummerSlam. A Money in the Bank, possibly. Survivor Series. But now it's like...
No, that now it has
gotta
to be.
It's got to be WrestleMania.
It would be so funny if everything y'all said happened. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, something odd out of left field is what causes Cody, like, the championship. For some reason,
Pharaoh comes out and bites his fucking ankle or something.
Yeah, yeah, he trips over, like, yeah, trips over his dog.
Trips over his dog and knocks himself out legitimately.
Or The Rock's daughter comes out and causes Cody to match.
Yeah, so like random.
One, I know it is.
Was it last week that you said Cody needs to go attack The Rock's daughter?
Yeah. See, he'll do that. On NXT this Tuesday, and she'll end up like, "All right, bet I got you,
bro." If that happens, that confirms my assumption that WWE has been eavesdropping on all of us for years,
right? But no, all right, all right. Let me be serious though. Like, of course, personally, I would love Roman to win, just because, again, the world would burn, the wrestling world would just. Fucking turn to asunder. The IWC would probably have a heart attack, and like everything on so like it would probably break the fucking internet. There'd be a fucking riot. Like hands down, they're in Philly. It'd be a fucking riot. So, I mean, in actuality, yeah, I believe Cody is gonna win. I think it's gonna be like all of that. Like it's like you said, it's gonna be overbooked. It's gotta be overbooked like a son of a bitch. It's the perfect time to bring any and everybody that the bloodline has wrong.
Yeah.
Again, like you said, seeing that, like, you know, picture of everybody just surrounding the ring and Roman has nowhere to go.
I'd be so happy if that moment happened.
It probably would. Knowing Triple H, it probably will.
Probably.
So, like, it's going to be crazy. I think it'd be funny if The Rock actually turns on Roman, where, you know, that whisper that everybody says that, like, you know, he said he was going to make Cody bleed. I feel like he really said, "Yo, I got your back at WrestleMania 19.
Hold my beer and watch this."
I mean, it would be a gigantic swerve.
But I don't see it happen. Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be hilarious.
See that happening?
I don't either. But it'd be hilarious. But yeah, no, Cody's definitely winning. They need to. It needs to end like that. It really does.
I see Austin coming out and getting in his ass before I see Rock turning on Roman.
Yeah, no, same.
Yeah.
Same. So I expect it's going to be a great match. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great way to end it. Cody's finally finishing the story. So, yeah, I mean, let's end Mania this year on a happy note instead of how I would do it and piss the whole entire world off. So, yeah, I guess
Goldberg's gonna show up and just fuck everything up.
Oh, God.
Please don't. God, please don't.
I just put it into the universe.
I'd rather Jack Perry show up.
We all know that Goldberg is not showing up anytime soon.
No, he isn't.
I mean, although Goldberg, he would be on that list of people.
That's what I'm saying. He is on that list of people that got wronged.
Oh, yeah. But, see, I don't see him doing anything because he didn't do anything to Bobby Lashley for putting hands on his kid.
He choked
his kid out, yo. Bobby Lashley choked out Goldberg's kid, and you didn't do nothing. Yeah, you so a punk ass bitch.
He beat him at Crown Jewel.
Yo, he choked your son out. Yo, you should have shot that nigga.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
It is Look, Easter Sunday, sir.
My bad. Sorry about the language. My bad. If somebody put their hands on my son, they getting shot.
I'm just saying.
Like, yo, that's my boy. Like, that's my seed. You gonna choke him out. He choked him out in the Hurt Lock. So that's it. I guess that ends the Villains Lounge, and we're gonna go into the Dumbass of the Week. And I'm looking at it right now. As of right at this moment, with 33% is Uncle Dave. Perry and IWC actually gets no votes, and the winner is Christopher Jericho at 67%.
There we go.
So I cannot argue with that, but I think I'm going to combine Uncle Dave and Jericho, and their new name is Meltzico, and they're the Dumbass of the Week.
That sounds like a horrible pharmaceutical company.
It does.
It does.
Meltzico.
It's given the horrible, horrible COVID vaccine.
Yeah.
All right.
Anywho.
Well, this ends the show. I appreciate y'all sticking with us. I know it was a weird show. We probably will never do this again. So thank you for watching. Again, if you let your kids listen to us, you are a horrible parent. Just want to put that out there, especially on Easter Sunday. But I hope you guys enjoyed it. So with that being said, later and peace.
What's going on? It is Clipper Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is to kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at prowrestlingtees.com/the3countpodcast, or even find us on foryourwear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love, because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, love y'all.